This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenwick. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
That's right, Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, proudly brought to you by NRMA Insurance, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about. Now, of course, home, but cars, that's what we care about most. And, of course, Uniden Smart Dash Cams, awarded best dash cam by Canstar Blue, scoring a 5-star rating, and some cracking new products out there, including the 5K resolution Uniden Dash View 60. So check that one out, the 60 plus great dash cam. Stephen, welcome.
G'day, Trev.
Another week driving in the glory of electric cars.
Yes.
And not for the environment, but because they're just bloody great cars to drive.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we're getting through them. We're going to talk about a car that I've been driving for a little while.
We will. And we're also going to talk about a place where you can buy an EV if you're looking for a second-hand EV. Now, obviously, there's normal car buying and selling websites, but this is a website that's been established purely
just for EVs.
For those wanting to get into the EV
and
space.
And so both for people buy and sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a pure EV marketplace.
So we'll cover all that on today's episode of Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. And we are the two blokes, Trevor Long, Stephen Fenwick. And Stephen, there's a fair bit of news out of China this week. Now, I can tell you that there is a brand new brand coming to Australia called Zeekr.
Zeekr.
They've taken the Silicon Valley approach to naming their company, and they've dropped the E before the R. It's Z-E-E-K-R. Zeekr.
Okay. They got rid of the vowel before. Two consonants together, make it trendy.
We've got a story up on EFTM.com about this, and the headline here is the 009, which is one model of the Zeekr.
Yep.
This thing is a strange looking from the front, I'll be honest. It's got an obscure look, but that's what EVs, they love to do that.
Yeah.
But it looks to me like a Kia Carnival in every shape or form. It's a people mover. But here's the staggering things. This has not been announced formally yet. We'll probably find out at the end of this month.
Yep.
There's a big auto show in China, and I believe there'll be some announcements before that. So stand by for that later in the month. But my information is this thing will have 400 kilowatts of power. This is a people mover, right? Like a six or seven-seat people mover.
Yep.
It'll do 0 to 100 in 4.5 seconds.
Wow.
It will have the world's first 140-kilowatt-hour battery.
Whoa.
Offering a range of up to 822 kilometres.
Oh.
Now, even if they fall short of many of those goals, a 700-kilometre range would be awesome for a people mover.
That's incredible. So 140-kilowatt-hour battery.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a big car.
It's a big car, so you can fit that under the wheelbase, and maybe it won't have the – because the thing I loved about the Kia Carnival was when you had all the seats up and you had the – often in a seven-seater like a Toyota Kluger or even a Prado, you put all seven seats up and you've got this much space for your luggage or groceries or whatever. Yeah, right. The Kia Carnival had – this much space, and it was deep. It was like the deep boot because the tire is actually in the middle of the car, the spare tire. So I hope it doesn't compromise luggage space because I think that's as important to a seven-seater
obviously a big comfort. Car then.
Big car. A seven-seater. You know, beautiful captain-style chairs in the middle if you go the six-seat variant. We don't know anything about how it's going to come out, but it certainly looks like they've gone for luxury.
Yep.
I struggle. I do wonder about these companies and how they'll place themselves in the market. Because let's be real, a Kia Carnival at its top, we don't know what the new Kia Carnival is going to be, but let's say it tops out at $72,75 for the hybrid version that's coming out. If this thing, mate, if this thing's $100,000, it's the same price as the EV9, but from a brand that you don't know,
So this is a brand that's not based or not related to any other car company?
It's from the Geely Group, which does have multiple sub-brands. So there is a history here in cars.
Including motoring brands.
There's a history. Yeah, it's a motoring company. Okay, so there's no – this is not a brand new startup, which there's one of those coming. We'll get to that.
Yes.
Now this is a company that knows how to build cars. They've got a track record with cars.
Yep.
But this is a new brand in the EV space. So they're launching this as an EV brand. Like a Polestar. You know how Polestar is its own brand?
Yep.
But it's, you know, got the heritage of Volvo,
yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah.
So I worry that they overprice themselves. But, mate, if they come out at even $85,90 for a premium model, like if there was a stripped back one for like $75,80, but I do worry it's going to be a $100,000 plus car.
Well,
and
the size of the battery, the range, and the performance, that's
I hear that
big dollar figures.
I went way beyond my means, frankly, and spending the money I did on an EV9.
Yeah.
I wouldn't risk that on a new, on a Challenger brand.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that many people would.
You'd want to have solid protection with a decent warranty and backing of a company that you recognise.
Maybe it's like what we talked about last week with the Genesis and the market for the South Koreans in Australia who respect the brand. Maybe there'll be an Asian Chinese market who have a respect for this brand or something.
Obviously, being a Chinese brand, it's going to be sold in China. For
sure.
So there's a huge demand for, we're seeing a lot of brands coming out of there. So naturally, there's room to move in China alone.
And the fact that we've confirmed that it is coming to Australia, they have they've appointed a marketing manager here. It's happening.
Yep.
I think it's big for the Australian market. There's a second car coming from Zeekr, which is called the Zeekr X.
Yep.
I don't know where they would have got that name an SUV.
Tesla lawsuit fired up here.
Two different models, a single motor and a standard, so long range single motor and a standard range dual motor. The standard range has up to 400 kilometres and the long range says 440. I actually don't class that to be long range. I consider that to be unders right now.
You want to be well over 500 to be a long range.
Who was I talking to this week? We were talking about cars and electric cars and I basically said to them, you know, 500 is the number. You've got to be 500 or above.
You've got to hit that.
To satisfy the Australian market.
Of course.
I really do. But not a bad looking car.
Yeah, and so it's kind of looks like a mid-size SUV. Reminds you of a Honda CR-V.
Yeah.
Looks a bit like
totally.
That.
But exciting. Like, this is the thing. This you know, BYD really kicked it off as a new brand in Australia.
Yeah.
MG had already been here and have pivoted toward, but not entirely, EV. But MG, I don't think, has the burden of feeling like a Chinese company, even though they fully and completely are.
They are now, yeah.
I don't know that it'll be as easy as they might hope.
But do you think, it's obvious through the brands we've seen that China's kind of bucked that cheap and nasty kind of reputation here.
Oh, for sure.
China produces pretty impressive products, not just cars, but other
comments
categories.
I got somewhere on social media about the MG was, good stuff, new one-star ANCAP. And I wrote back and sent a link to the five-star ANCAP rating that the MG4 has. Now, there have been other MGs that don't have an ANCAP rating. There have been other Chinese cars come to Australia and leave because they haven't gotten star ratings. But let's be real. The Ford Mustang came to Australia, I don't know, 8 years ago when it was new guys, maybe 10, and it got a two-star safety rating and became the best-selling sports car in Australia. It doesn't always make a difference,
right?
We're a
bit forgiving on those ratings.
Perhaps on certain
sometimes.
Vehicles, but this is where a new brand might have that challenge.
Yeah, so there'll be more awareness around the safety of everything.
It'll be fascinating to see. Yeah, so that's a pretty exciting thing for Australia.
When were these potentially in 2024 or
in
next
2024?
Year? Really?
I can tell you right now, there's going to be an announcement on April the 20th.
Right.
And
scoop.
Yeah. And they wanted me to go, but I'm sending someone else.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll know then.
Yeah.
We'll know a little bit more. I don't know if we'll get pricing then, but we're gonna get news on this and I think it'll escalate quickly. Well, and look, I don't mind when you look at it, it looks a bit Rolls Royce-y from the front, this big Kia Carnival.
It's like got a big grill.
Yeah.
When there's no need for a grill.
But most EVs
you need
do
something
there to
you
do
need
that,
something.
Don't they?
Yeah, it can't be just all the same colour.
But it's not just Zeekr, Stephen.
Absolutely. Well, we've heard of Xiaomi. They make phones and electronics.
Massive electronics company.
Now, this Chinese smartphone company is now in the EV game and are launching their first EV and are already taking orders, I understand.
And look, this is not the fact that this vehicle exists is not new, but the fact that we now have it, like it's been on the roads, people have driven it, you've got a price. So I saw this in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress.
Yep.
Xiaomi had a stand and they had this thing there rotating. It's probably the exact same one that's in the photos because it's the same color.
Yep.
And it's not a horrific looking thing. Like
looks
it's,
all right.
It's unique.
It looks pretty cool.
I like the fact that it's unique styling because it doesn't look like it's stolen from somewhere.
No.
Which is often a risk with Chinese startup brands.
Yep. So price wise, what's this aimed at? Sort of, is it a BYD market or is it aimed at Tesla? Who are they targeting, or is somewhere in between?
You know, I feel like it's somewhere in between. If it's a 30 grand US car or a 20,000 pounds, it's going to be a 60-70k car. But
so
I
it's
suspect
kind of Model 3 money.
Yeah, I suspect side by side with the BYD seal.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because that has that, you know, nimble sedan sporty look to it. And I suspect this will sit alongside it quite nicely.
That's become a popular segment of the market, hasn't it? Now that sort of medium-sized sedan,
which
the Model
is
3, the
essentially,
Seal.
Yeah, like it's the Camry market, right? Camry's
a Cooper was considered mid-sized.
No, the Cooper Born is a small hatch.
Yeah, right.
This though is a nice medium-sized market. I think it's a good look for them.
Well, it says a lot, doesn't it, about this kind of the sweet spot where people are buying cars is in this exact category. So it makes sense for them to do this.
Now, while we're talking about new cars, new technology, I've got a question without notice that has just dawned on me, but it's been in my feed all day. So I hope you've seen something about it.
Yep.
Have you seen the latest feature to Tesla's full self-drive?
No.
Self-parking?
Yes, I've heard of that, yeah.
There's a lot of people showing videos of their Teslas pulling into car spaces.
Yeah.
I am so desperate, and I can't find it yet, but I'm so desperate to find the video I shot at least 10 years ago, possibly 13, out the front of my old house of a Ford Focus self-parking itself.
You mean just like parallel parking?
Yeah, just parallel parking,
My Mercedes-Benz used to do that 10 years ago.
Tesla owners are going nuts over this, and it's like, dude.
You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of when
my Cooper does it
in the tech world when Apple introduced wireless charging for the
or 5G.
First time, and people say this is amazing wireless charging, and I said Samsung's had that for 5 years, and they went so Tesla is sort of similar to the Tesla fans,
it is, isn't it?
Similar
it's
to Apple
such
fans,
a bubble. I guarantee you, over the next few days, you'll start to see all these videos of people going, "This is unbelievable. Let me show you." And look, I will say this though, to their credit, once again, the thing that Tesla has nailed is the user interface. The big screen in the middle, it shows. So if you're driving through what Americans would know as a traditional parking lot, you know, at the front of a Walmart or out the front of a Lowe's, you know, those open space car lots, it shows you all of the spots and then you tap on a spot to park there, which is pretty cool.
That's great.
But normally if there's 15 spots in a row, you just pull in. You don't actually need self-parking.
Yeah.
It's when there's multiple car spots between cars.
So it'll drive you to the spot and then park it. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
It'll self-drive to the spot. Yeah. Or do you drive to the spot?
You've got to be near it and then choose the spot and it'll reverse, nimble its way around.
My Mercedes has been doing that for years.
My Cooper does driving through a car space.
My current Mercedes-Benz.
It's just that the user interface
like a genius,
looks
car.
Better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit. The interface, amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So
the rest
it's another case of it's not official until Tesla does it, or in the tech space, it's not official until Apple does it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
A lot like that.
So I suspect if you're anywhere in your EV feed, and if you listen to this podcast, I would hope that you're looking at that kind of stuff on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, you'll start to see those videos come up of those Tesla owners who love their shiny new feature in the full self-drive. And let's not get started on whether it really is full self-driving or if it'll ever come to Australia. Do you get that bloke, I'm going to say his name's Ryan, drives a couple of Model Ys, posts a lot on social media, on TikTok and stuff, you know, very proud of his Teslas.
Yep.
He posted something the other day about a feature of full self-drive, like showed a video. And I went, mate, if you think you're ever getting that in Australia, you're deluded.
Well,
because it won't happen here.
Just a few days ago, there was a 60 Minutes special.
Right.
It was the whole...
Australia or America?
Australia. Hmm. It was American segment produced. Right. It was like an hour-long look at Tesla self-driving and autopilot and all the fatalities.
Oh.
And I've got to say, it was a little bit, not quite as balanced as it should have been.
I love to hate, but I'm not going to blame them for things that aren't
they
really
were really theirs. Sort of, they were really piling on with this one. There were like two or three cases where the drivers weren't in control of the car. They relied purely on autopilot or the self-drive, and there was some fatalities. But we know that Tesla tells you quite clearly, and I've driven my Tesla in autopilot, you have to have your hands on the wheel. You have to be in control of the car, basically.
Yeah. We also know there's a lot of vehicles of people testing this beta version, and they're, for many minutes, not in control of the vehicle.
Yeah.
So
but it doesn't help, though. It doesn't help that, and they had Elon Musk on this, and they had several interviews over the years, and he was asked the same question, and he gave the same answer across all the years. Yeah, within 2 years... Full self-driving. He said it. He's been saying that since 2016 and keeps saying it.
God, love his dedication to the cause.
That's right.
Listening to Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars.
Well, second-hand vehicles are something that we all know about. We've bought cars, sold cars, but when it comes to EVs, what's the story? What's the landscape? How do you do it? Is it easy? And there's a lot of questions out there, and one person who's decided to go ahead and create their own EV second-hand online market is Ross Jewell, and together with his wife Josephine, they've created Amazing EV, which is a place for drivers to buy and sell their used EVs. And we actually have Ross on the line. Ross, how are you going?
Good, thanks, Trevor. Good to be with you guys.
It's actually Stephen, but that's okay. How's this going? How long have you had this this online marketplace, and how is it doing?
We started in January 2024, so we've just been running 3 months now and going very, very well. We're up to about 35 listings at the moment, so growing strongly. And obviously, as the market grows, it'll continue to grow in numbers as well. So very happy with the progress so far.
What's the unique selling point of having a specific website for EVs? Because obviously, you can list your EV for sale on any of the existing marketplaces, but what are you bringing to it to make me, as an EV buyer, think I'm going to sell there?
We bought a used EV about a year and a half ago. I've got a Tesla Model Y, and I bought that used myself. I couldn't wait for a new one in about November 22, so decided to jump in and have a look around. There was only a couple available. Ended up buying through an existing dealer, and to be honest, they weren't that terribly interested in selling it or really answering that many questions about it. It was sort of hand the keys over and off you go. So I was really keen to get an EV. We loved it from day one. We decided, had a look at a couple at the time and decided on the Tesla. That's an individual choice, of course, but really loved the Tesla, but found there was just lots of things we didn't understand and didn't know. So from that, we joined a few communities, the Tesla Owners Club and also the Electric Vehicle Owners Club in Australia, met lots of people in the same situations. So I thought I'd parlay all that into a used EV marketplace where there was a community that we could build to answer the questions, provide the information for people so they could go to one place and get all the information they needed to help them buy. Because we think that buying an EV is a very different experience from buying a petrol.
I wish I had come to you last year. I sold my Tesla Model S, and it was, I went through another site to sell it, and it was a bit of a journey. It was a bit hard. I found it difficult. Like there were some times when I thought I could have had a bit more support. So how does it work? Say I've got a car to sell. I come to you. It's not just a matter of just you put up a listing. Like there's photography and video involved as well, isn't there?
That's right, yes. So we're really holding hands with everybody we meet as much as we can. We're up in the Blue Mountains, and just by way of experience, a couple of weeks ago, met a lovely lady who just bought a new red Model Y and was selling the red Model 3. So we're offering a service as part of the listing that we'll take some photos, and we think like a real estate, a high-end real estate listing. Yeah. Better the photos, the better the outcome's going to be. So, yeah, look, if a bit more effort goes in, some of the research we've done, particularly in the States, if the photos are better, you're going to get a better outcome. Show the car in the best possible light. Show some of the niggles. Show the bits and pieces, but show it in the best possible light. We've also got a spot for a small video on our site as well, on the listing itself, so you can see full detail, ins and outs. So we're offering that service at the moment, working with people to take those photos and take the video as well. So it's a great experience to talk to people and also find out their story and a bit more about the car as well. So that's part of the service at the moment.
Are you doing it in the real estate model? Are you doing it on a percentage basis? Because the Porsche Taycan listed at $269,000 would be a nice earn for you, mate.
I wish, I know. We're covering the full range. The cheapest one we've got there is 16-odd grand Nissan Leaf, right up to 275-odd for a Porsche Taycan. So, unfortunately, no, the model is going to be a listing model similar to the competitors. We don't think a commission model works in this environment. We're offering free listings at the moment as we kick off and get going, get some momentum going. Get some interest. Yep. Then down the track, there'll be a scale listing model where you'll be able to put a basic listing up for $99 and move to $199 for a bit more.
So that's how you make your money, by people paying for the listing. So you don't clip the ticket on the sale. You just charge for the listing.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have a listing model where we'll just charge.
But you're basically running this whole thing at a loss right now to try and build it up as a business. You're a genuine startup in that sense.
That's dead right. So dead right. And we can spend the time with the people getting better results for the photos taking that we're offering those to people so that they can use on their other sites as well. We're all about the result. We just want people to get a result. So if we help people get a result, we don't actually mind which platform they sell on at the moment. So the photos I'm taking, I send those, they use them on our site, I send those to the sellers and they can use them on the other sites to help promote the vehicle in the best light.
And how much guidance do you give your customers? Say they come to you with their EV, you see the condition and you do the video. Do you sort of suggest, do you give them a bit of a price guideline or do they set the price? Do you help them there?
Pricing wise, we're giving some feedback, but I'm not giving guidance at the moment.
Right.
There's plenty of info, and we've got some research from a company called AutoGrab, you might have heard, and they've done a lot of research. There's numbers on all the cars, all the classes, as you know, in all the markets.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of places we can go, and we're about to provide a link so that people can go online and get their own valuation service and just check the market out themselves and see whether they're competing against all the other similar cars on the market.
Yeah.
So without it getting right down to a price game, there's other factors involved, and particularly with EVs, even Teslas, there's lots of other features that people have added which make them slightly different and more attractive. But there's plenty of info out there about getting comparative prices. So,
yeah, because everyone thinks their car's worth more than it is. A lot of people think, oh, my car's worth more than that. But then reality kicks in and you want your customers to get a result in the end of the day. So, yeah, that's a good venue.
I think what's fascinating for me, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that there will come a time, and perhaps you could be the leader in this space, John. I'll give you ideas and tell you how to do your job. But I think that the EV space has one critical difference in the listings, and that is battery. Now, obviously, you can say it's got 77 kilowatt-hour battery. It's got a manufactured estimated range of whatever. But just like a phone, I think people in the second-hand market need to know what's the health of the battery on this car. Now, it may not be that every vehicle allows you to see that, but where it's possible, I would wear that as a badge of honor on the listing to say this thing has a 96% battery health. And then, you put next to that, that means a projected range of whatever. So that when you compare one Kia EV6 GT line to another from the same year with the same number of Ks, you can see that actually the one that's priced $5,000 more is done so because it's actually been looked after better. The battery has been looked after better. There's no scratches on either of them, but the battery on the other one was charged 100% every day. It was drawn down to zero, and it doesn't have the battery health. Do you see that as being something you could add in the future and help people discern between two different vehicles?
Yeah, absolutely dead right. That is the critical factor, the battery health. There's a lot of groups working on that to try and bring that to market. We'd love to see some single currency or certification, which is across the board. If not that, there's a couple of battery testing places at the moment entering the market. I won't mention names, but you can get a battery test from your original manufacturer as well. But yeah, for sure, that's going to be the currency going forward. And it'll allow both buyers and sellers to see in confidence that under the bonnet, the most expensive or most valuable asset of the EV is okay. It's natural. Natural degradation was in line with age and mileage.
It was something that I experienced too. There were a few potential buyers of my car that were asking about the battery health, and I think the Tesla had enough information for me to provide
it.
It was the others just saw that they just took it from the – I had quite low kilometres on the car for a five-year-old car. It was like less than 50,000 Ks on it. So I think people were encouraged about that. And I did mention the fact that I kept the battery at the daily driving limit, sort of keep it in that healthy space. And most drivers were across that, but others were sticklers and were thinking, okay, they're looking into the future. And is this going to pose an issue in the future? So I think what Trevor was saying, there needs to be sort of some sort of standard of what you were saying about there needs to be some kind of uniform value that's given to the battery health, I think is really important.
Does that also apply to you helping buyers? You say you help the sellers.
Yes,
is there a market for you to potentially, and I'm not trying to feed your business, but you know, maybe someone who's looking to buy an EV could pay a small fee, $50, $100, whatever, it's for you to be the buyer's agent. It's the real estate thing again, right? A buyer's agent for a car. So you go, listen, I've looked at this, we've done this. Obviously, we don't warrant it because you're just a buyer's agent, but here's what we can tell you about these vehicles and here's three to choose from.
We're working with a couple of groups, and there's one already in Australia representing a European business that's providing battery checking services, and they're focusing on the fleet market at the moment. The retail market doesn't, private market doesn't quite make sense to them. Doesn't quite stack up yet, but we are moving very quickly towards that service provision and encouraging both buyers and sellers to actively find that information and swap it as part of maintaining and the value of the vehicle, as you suggested. So, yeah, we're moving quickly towards something along those lines. So.
Well, mate, I feel like I've just been talking about my ideas for your site, but I'll give you one last thing.
You get an invoice. You'll send an invoice next week.
There's this great podcast that these two blokes, they talk about electric cars every week, and you know, you're trying to inform people about vehicles. You've got EV buyer help. I can imagine a little bit where you actually just have people link to a little podcast they could listen to every week about EVs if they're in the market for one. Just suggesting.
Absolutely. Fully agree.
We'll send you there'll be an advertiser's kit in the mail, Roscoe. Don't worry, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll send an investor's kit back again.
Good on you, mate. Really appreciate your info on that website. It's a great idea. Yeah. Obviously, it's a huge market, mate, you're trying to crack into, and you know, it's a long road, not a short one. So you'll put some K's on the legs and the car as you drive around helping a lot of people. But Roscoe, amazingev.com.au is the place to go. Amazingev.com.au. If you're looking to buy an EV or you're looking to sell an EV, check out Roscoe and his wife at amazingev.com.au. Thanks for your time, Roscoe.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. It's a great idea, Stephen. Yeah.
Well, mate, I've got skin in the game here. I did sell my Tesla, and it's...
It feels like that
I wish this was around then.
You used 5 or 6 years ago to sell your car before you got the Tesla.
Yes.
Very personalised.
Similar to this, yeah. That was called car sales. I don't think they're around anymore, but it was car sales.
It wasn't car sales. That's one of the biggest websites in the world.
It was a car chase, sort of car chase.
And that's the challenge here for Roscoe.
I used car sales
wife,
for this last time,
is, you know, they're making a loss now. They're just building a business.
Yeah.
Very hard business to crack into, the classifieds market.
But in a niche, smart.
I think it's very smart.
I think it's good, and it's serving buy. It's bringing buyers and sellers together.
Yeah, brilliant. That's well done. AmazingEV.com.au. All right, Stephen, you have not handed over the keys for even half an hour to the Ford Mustang Mach-E vehicles that you've been driving.
Well, let me just tell you, Trev, I got in that car, and when I paired my phone, which is the first thing I do, whose name did I see in the list of phones but one Trevor Long iPhone 15 Pro Max?
So I said it was in the last five months, that's for sure.
You're not getting this car. You've driven it already.
Okay.
So
when you get to Stephen's, which of the models you've had? You've got one now. You had one last week.
I've had the premium. Okay. So the Mach-E
premium.
You've
got the Select now.
And I've got the Select now.
And in a couple of weeks, you'll have the GT.
Getting the GT, correct.
Yeah. I need to drive the GT.
Now, you did have a couple of questions for me for this car because I think when you drove it, you couldn't find the different driving modes.
I was kind of disappointed that in a Mustang, there's not a race button. In a traditional Mustang, you know, remember there's little, when we drove the Mustangs up to the bush, there's all buttons or flick switches that take you between like launch mode and all these kind of different modes, right? A Mustang is a sports car brand.
Yes, it is.
So I expected on the button, on the steering wheel, a dial or a button that, I mean, my Cooper's got a button that takes me to Cooper mode, which is, let's go, baby.
There are two things that I would improve on this car. One is having that manual control to switch between, smooth or premium or insane or whatever they call them. But there was another mode that needed or a paddle or something to get you into recuperation mode, the different recuperations. Yeah. Now, when I found these, they were in the settings. So you had to dive into the settings to do this. There was no physical control. And I got to say, the one pedal driving on this car, one of the best I've had in an EV.
Yeah, really?
It is amazing.
When you have to enter it. You've got to go into
the settings and select it, and then it's there all the time. You don't have to go in and reselect it like my car's got the physical control. I've got to select strong every time. With this one, it was not only did you get that great sort of the deceleration, but it would also then pull up to a complete stop. And so I literally didn't touch the brake for a lot of the time I was driving the car.
That's
it was
true.
One of the best.
Driving.
And I told Ford today when we were doing the swap, I said, just for the record, your one pedal drive is one of the best I've ever had on an EV.
Yeah, right.
It was really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but the car, obviously, it's a Mustang. Like this thing's really, it's got a really, I call it a muscular style.
Yeah.
It looks like muscles on the car. Yeah, the curves.
It's kind of like
the curved, the curved panels.
Hips and all that kind of stuff.
It's a standout car. There were a lot of people that were looking at what sort of car is that? And the only logo on the car is the Mustang.
Yeah, there's no
Ford logo. Mm. It does come up on this big screen when it starts.
It's like they decided to do it as if they could spin off the company. Do you know what I mean? Like Ford.
Right.
Ford having a separate spin-off IPO for Mustang as a brand, which could never happen because they're so intertwined.
Yeah.
But that's how it felt.
Yeah. I did also like the fact that you could choose to hear a sound when you're driving.
Right.
So it's like driver feedback. You know, a driver.
Yeah.
Why a Mustang? Half the reason you buy it is because it sounds great.
It's true.
But also in this case, they gave you the choice of having that sound just for you.
Yeah, nice.
In the car.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Now the premium has a range of 600 km.
Yeah.
And I drove it a lot, and I topped up the charge, and there was still 40% on the battery when I gave the car back, and that was driving it for a full week solid driving.
Yeah, right.
I only had to top it up for like an hour once.
Right.
Yeah, and that was all.
Yeah.
So great range on it.
Yeah,
as
very
well.
Good range. Now it's interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd say quickly about range is you got to remember that everyone's range is different.
Yeah.
Once you start, like I was looking at the EV9 the other day, and it's showing us a range of 600 plus because it's only being driven
right.
a little trips here and there, and so it thinks it's going to be able to get great range. Like it's
depends too on how many passengers are in the car.
A lot of issues.
If you've got your golf clubs and your golf buggy in the
your
back.
Air conditioning, which, whole range of things.
I leave, like in my Merc, I leave all my golf gear in the car, which is heavy.
Yes.
That's probably affecting my range and
it's probably affecting your driving range too.
Well, the driving
get
range.
It?
I like
hey,
it.
Hey,
boom,
hey.
Boom, bang. That's pretty cool.
So and you're just, a fan?
Look, I am. Yeah, the big 19-inch alloys. It's a really, like I said, a muscular car. It still has the characteristics of a traditional Mustang, even though it's an EV. The big screen as well. One of the larger screens. It's like my old Model S screen. It's a portrait screen. It does have a dial for the volume in the middle of the screen as
big
well.
Big fan.
It's got a nice cluster in front of the driver also, so you're getting the two screens.
Nice.
And really nice room too. It's quite roomy, even the back seat. You can fit easily five people.
It's a genuine Model Y contender.
Yeah, totally. Completely. Yeah.
Just for something different, let alone anything else. It is priced a touch over and above the Model Y.
Driveway
though.
Price, you're looking at about 96K. For this, for the premium, and look, no GT, you're talking over 100K. The Select that I'm in now is 80,000, but there is different wheels, lower range, so there are some
I think as
trade-offs.
A daily driver, you'll love the Select. I don't think it'll be an issue at all.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So far, so good.
Very nice.
Love
that's
it.
The Ford Mustang Mark E through the eyes of Stephen Fenwick here on Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. We've got more cars in the driveway and the garage over the weeks and months ahead, and we'll continue to bring you those. With thanks to our great sponsors and supporters, NRMA Insurance and Uniden Smart Dash Cams. We'll talk to Bradley Hales from Uniden in the weeks ahead too, because the choice of a dash cam is an important part. Like, honestly, if you're buying a new car, why are you not buying a dash cam?
Have to have it.
We'll make sure we run through what are the options out there, because, and it's not about, you know, advertising his products. It's about going, what are the options and why would you choose certain things?
And why
in
is
a dash
resolution
cam?
Important too?
Yes.
The resolution, though.
Some
important.
People, the $100 dash cam is all you need because you just want a basic evidence of what happened in front of you and what happened around you. But some people will invest much more in their dash cams. We'll talk about that in the weeks ahead too. Lots to come. Plus, your calls, if you've got a EV or you've got a question about EVs, get in touch.
Yeah.
techguide.com.au, EFTM.com. Just get in touch with us, and we'd love to talk to you about EVs. If you've got a question you want answered, we're happy to
You could be talking to us. You'd be talking to us on the show.
That would be...
We could be interviewing you about your potential EV purchase or something you've just picked up.
I'm just so excited. I get to talk to him every week. You could talk to him
as well.
Stephen, see you next week.
See you, buddy.